Welcome to the Women and Wealth Podcast with Esther Szabo. Esther is a respected leader in the field of personal financial advice with over 25 years of experience. After going through her own significant and challenging life-changing events, she overcame fear and self-doubt to launch her own successful advisory firm. Now Esther is ready to share her practical and personal experiences to help other women clear their hurdles and brave life's transitions. In this way, she inspires women to lead fulfilling and confident lives.
Hello and welcome to Women and Wealth with Esther Szabo from Gates Pass Advisors. Today, the title of the podcast is, Am I Okay? And I would say here's the deal. If you're asking me that, I have one answer. But if you ask my wife if I'm okay, it's a completely different answer. So it's a trick question, right? Right, Esther?
It can be. So many things are a matter of perspective.
Exactly. So that's the title for today's podcast. I know you have a wonderful explanation as to why it's entitled that. You want to give us a sneak preview or do you want to jump into the content first? What do you want to do?
Well, let's just jump in terms of how Am I Okay fits into things. And it's actually the name of one of the tools that I use with women in transition. And I was thinking of this because there are so many ongoing disturbing headlines in the news. Not that, again, headlines have ever been a source of comfort necessarily, but between the global trade wars that are happening, the escalation of issues in Iran, you know, the war word is being used, concerns about the market, obviously reacting to that. We do anticipate continued market volatility. So for us in the industry, that's not necessarily a surprise, but for those who aren't looking at this and reviewing it on pretty much a daily basis, it can be very jolting. And we tend to just scan news headlines. We don't necessarily read through. All of us are just, we've become so, with the change in technology, it's so much just short-term scanning than it is really taking time to go in depth. So these headlines are written. They, you know, that's known. Media knows that. So they're written to grab our eyeballs. And anything that fosters fear or anxiety will typically draw someone in to look again and look again. Again, not necessarily read through a whole story and digest and consider, but just check, am I okay? Is this okay? Is the situation okay?
Yeah, it's the same old thing that we get from the TV. And, you know, you have the TV on at 4 o'clock and you see the headline, 10 things in your refrigerator that can kill you tonight at 10 o'clock. Well, now I can't eat dinner. I can't even go to the fridge to get a drink because it could be on that list. I have no idea. But I would love just one time to tune into the news and turn it on. And the first thing they say is, you know what? Everything's great. And by the way, you've won free pizza for a year. It just hasn't happened yet. And so I can see where people just want to read that headline, but there's a snapshot there that it can be so misleading sometimes.
Yeah, very misleading about the true nature of what's really happening. And especially for someone who's newly in transition, whether they've worked with me before or not, sometimes these things can be really triggering to feelings of being out of control. So they're not trivial news events, but it's really important. Like we talked about from the beginning, it all depends on perspective.
Absolutely.
Doesn't have to do what's going on in Iran. It really doesn't have to do with someone who's, well, with most of us, we can't really impact that. But we have the choices that we can for someone, especially who's early in transition. I remember when I was early in the transition of losing my husband, which is coming on 5 years ago now, it was very much a time to just focus on putting one foot in front of the other. And because I'm in the industry I am in, I was fortunate and had planned so that I didn't have to worry about where the money was coming from to continue supporting the mortgage, et cetera. But often I find this tool that we use called Am I Okay to be really useful for a woman who doesn't have that clarity about confidence or clarity or confidence about money coming in for them. So it's a tool where we really just sit down and it's a grid. We go through it and go through the different steps.
All right, walk us through it. I mean, how do you start this conversation?
Sure. Well, it's really about, oh my goodness, I just came through this big change in my life. Mm-hmm. And it can be, when I talk about transition, it can be losses, like the one of my losing my husband, or it can be a divorce. It can also be new money coming in or a career boost, something like that. But in this case, it typically works for those who've just experienced a loss. And it's to answer the question, where will my money come from for the next 3 to 12 months to cover my immediate expenses, mm-hmm. like mortgage, utilities, groceries, credit card bills, one-time expenses, you know, car repair or something like that, and ongoing expenses. Mm-hmm. Immediate expenses can also be legal bills. And it really helps to sit down and focus on this. Again, the news can create paralysis for people where they just feel like, well, I'm doomed. We're about to go to war and the market's about to blow up and what, is, you know, I can't do anything. These are the things to really bring it back, bring the perspective back to what's going on today, what needs to happen, mm-hmm. and just step someone through that. I talk a lot about meeting people at their pacing. And this is a great pacing exercise to say, okay, let's just start here. I hear that you're anxious about money and where money's going to come from. And there's so much paperwork at the beginning of a transitional event. Let's just slow it down and look at, first of all, what are your sources of income? Do they, or did their spouse or their partner, do they have a source of income from business? How much do they expect to come in? Is it monthly, quarterly, annually? Mm-hmm. How long do you expect that to go on? And is it taxable? So we do the same thing for, is there earned income? Do you have a job? If their job stopped, then that's one of the biggest things. Also, it can be for those who are, we also look at Social Security. So with earned income or Social Security, if someone's been drawing Social Security, if they're over 62 is the youngest age you can take it. If they're over that age and had been drawing Social Security, it will go away. The surviving spouse can claim on their spouse's benefit, but that may take a little bit of time and that spouse's benefit will go away. And that can be a big shock for someone who's been relying and living used to that two incomes. Even if it's two people mm-hmm. sharing income, typically the expenses have not been so great that, they may need all that income, but to lose half of it, or even yeah. perhaps more than half, if it was the higher earner during their lifetime, a lot of that income, it's quite a difference. So say, okay, what are you expecting from your earned income? That may be zero. Social Security, that may be zero. And then we look at investments. And this is where we can bring a lot of clarity to clients in terms of their investments may need to not necessarily shift at this point, but how they're operating with them may need to change. Mm-hmm. They maybe have been in a period of reinvesting all the dividends and capital gains just to allow them to grow. Maybe, you know, we need to look at that and say, we might need to start to take some of those dividends and capital gains, that income for you. Just again, this is a 3 to 12 month plan. This isn't meant to be a life plan, but just to smooth things out in the interim of this initial part of the transition.
Yeah. And something you've spoken about before, specifically in the loss of a spouse, is that what a lot of people don't realize is that all of a sudden you're taxed more because now the yeah. government sees you as single. Yeah. And I mean, that's a horrendous thing for them to do, in my opinion, but yeah. I don't remember the last time the government gave me a big hug and warm fuzzies. So I think it's just part of their machine, if you want to call it that. But I mean, that's a huge difference. So now you've lost income. And the government's going to take more out of your taxes individually because you're a single person. So
right.
There's a lot to consider here.
Yeah, there's a lot. There is a lot to consider about. Again, it comes back to the investments. Do we need to make any changes? And in 2018, again, there was a big change in tax policy where it affected people on the coasts a lot just because we lost a big amount of our tax deduction of our property taxes, which are, and state taxes, which are not small. So if somebody had switched to becoming a single filer in that year and losing deductions, it's a lot to prepare for and to consider. So the investment piece and how that's handled in terms of income is really critical. Mm-hmm. And we may just spend the appointment just on that. Again, going back, I'm repeating, but this part about pacing is so important. I was on an appointment with a client yesterday, and it was the first time we had gone through the review of her financial planning. And because of the how she takes in information, I do a review with clients. How do you take in information? What's your best way? And we go through specific choices on that. We do go through a specific discussion on that that helps bring different responses back from them. Because most of us, you know, if somebody asked us that, we're like, I just listen or I respond. Mm-hmm. But we have sometimes people really need pauses in between presentation. Yeah. They need time to absorb this information. Other people, their pacing is much different and they're just like, just all I want is the bottom line and let's move on.
Yeah. Yep.
So because of her pacing, we just didn't get through my agenda. Okay, big deal. Well, we scheduled a bit more time next week to complete it. It's most important when we're going through things like this MIOK worksheet, not that we complete all the boxes in 90 minutes, but that we really start to nail together what would be a strategy that they can feel comfortable with, that a client can feel comfortable with, that they can meet their bills and allow time to process what's going on in their lives for the transition.
Yeah, I think rushing creates a lot of anxiety and panic in a way, and mm-hmm. and being able to recognize that, I mean, this is your specialty. I mean, there's we've talked about it many times on many of the podcasts that we've already done, but truly for those that are listening, this is exactly what Esther specializes in, is knowing her client and being able to recognize what they've gone through because she's, or what they're going through because she's gone through things. So not to derail it, but they just need to be, the audience needs to understand that, because so many people would, hey, we have boxes to check. I know you want to talk about this, but we just really need to move on. Right. Okay, that's fantastic. Right. Now you're not listening, right? And that's one of the things that you do the best. So,
yeah, thank you. I was with another client yesterday, and we just had a new associate advisor join our firm this week. And when they met with us together, I not only asked the associate advisor to introduce themselves to the client, but I said to the client, can you introduce yourselves to the associate advisor? What are you doing here? You know, what's your purpose? And they talked about how, which felt really great. I said, thank you so much. It was very validating. They said, you know, why are we here rather than down the street? It's because Esther not only has technical expertise, which we need, we wish we had come to her 25 years ago, but she also knows how to relate to not just to each of us individually, as well as a couple, that she mm-hmm. listens. And that is so important. And when I was talking to this other client yesterday, the one who just needs that processing time, I asked her, how does it feel to you when you don't get it? And she said, I just feel really rushed. I feel put off. Mm-hmm. I have to think about, do I really want to go through that extra effort to say, slow down? I feel like the person probably doesn't care anyway, so why should I bother? And just think, if all of this is going on in our clients' minds, they're not able to really be present in terms of, well, let's talk about your investments. Again, that's mm-hmm. a lot for the brain to process.
Well, and that's something that you've covered in a podcast before. Transitions don't always need to be negative, right? I mean, there's positive transitions as well. And as an advisor, I know that you take time to both empathize with your client when there's a transition that's difficult, and celebrate with your client when there's a transition that's positive. If you don't give them time to not gloat, but just be very happy and proud of their achievements, and you know, whether it's a change at work or whatever it is, if you don't give them that time to celebrate with them, then again, there's just that relationship that's not going to form correctly.
Right.
That's fantastic. So what is the next step in this process?
Well, besides, the other piece is going through employee benefits. So that can be very tricky. Especially if a spouse was employed, and then what benefits are still available? Is there life mm-hmm. insurance? How do you process that? is what the biggest one is really medical insurance. If someone is under the age of 65, that's one of the biggest challenges. And that can cause a lot of anxiety. What will I do? How will I handle medical insurance? So that is comes to be very high at the top of the list is what will you receive in the form of benefits, or what do you need to update in the form of benefits? And is there any gifting or anything like that coming in from family that you anticipate or that one is receiving? So these are all sources of income. I know people might think about family if they're hearing the podcast. I know so many seniors, when they're thinking about family, they're thinking more about outgo than income.
I was going to say, that's right. What is the word income? You said income from family? It's new.
Right. And it's not necessarily just seniors either. Of course, it's parents who have college-age children that can be. But this is first just looking at income. What are our sources? What can we expect to receive? And totaling that up. And then the second step is, what are the sources of just available cash that one can access without penalties, without risk? How does one access it? And again, this will vary based on client, but it's very helpful. I've gone through this with clients, and it's just so helpful to have it all out in black and white. Yes, I have these savings and checking accounts, and this is how I access them. Sometimes there can be an issue of passwords. You know, the other spouse maybe had, this is very common in this day and age, that somebody has passwords, somebody else doesn't have access to them. So access is really critical. Do I have all the access I need? And how do we go about rectifying that? Or it can be IRAs, retirement accounts. What is there? Is there something that I can withdraw? When you're talking about taxes, and that obviously plays to retirement accounts and the benefits are not of accessing those prior to the minimum required withdrawal age, you know, but it's, it can be a source of funds, and let's see what we've got there.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's, it's so important. And there's different ways, especially with the passwords and that type of access, so many ways to get that done. My parents, as an example, my mom writes everything in a small book. My dad has nothing to do with it. nothing at all.
Does he know where the book is?
But he knows where the book is. And so do I. And so that's important as their son. If something were to happen to them, that's, I know exactly where that little book is, and that'll give me access to everything that I need to do to take care of whatever I need to take care of. For those that are a little bit more tech savvy, my wife and I use a password keeper that is an app on our phones. I do most of the plugging in, creating the passwords, so on and so forth. But she has access to it because it's a shared app. So she has that on her phone. And my daughter has her thumbprint on my phone, because you can add multiple people's thumbprints if that's how you can unlock your phone, or, you know, that you can give them the passcode and hopefully they write it down or they remember it. But my children have the ability to put their thumb on my phone. It unlocks it. And so they can get into those passwords if, heaven forbid, something happens to my wife and I. So there's so many different ways to get that done. But the main thing I think you're saying, and the audience needs to hear, is that make sure the spouse has access to it, knows exactly where it is. And if you have children, you might want to make sure that they know how to access that information just in case.
Right. Right. No, that is so critical. This is a less critical issue, but I didn't know my husband's Apple iTunes password, and I know he had so much on there, so much music, and it would have been nice to be able to really just access his music. That's not certainly as critical as how do I get into my IRA, but it's just another.
Well, emotionally, I think it is. I really do. I think emotionally that is as critical, because you can go on there and see his most played songs, right? And that can be incredibly comforting and just give you that moment to be in that moment with him. During that. And everybody needs that if they've experienced a loss like that.
Yeah. Just that connection. So, I think another place also, but then somebody has to know with all, I appreciate what you're saying about the thumbprint and access. And the password manager, that someone, you know, how do you get to the password manager? So you speak of that with the application. I think also sometimes just having that information in a safe at home, also just with some of these passwords and, you know, how do I access this and that and the other, can be very useful as well. And I know with my trust and estate plan, I've given the information to my sister, a very close family member, to say, okay, if something happens to me, this is the person that you need to call. You don't have to know what all of this document says, but this is who you need to call for this, that, and the other. And so it's, I think this is one of the most difficult things for everyone, is saying, looking at the different investments and saying, okay, where are they? What are the statements? What is this about? Drawing this together. So this is a lot what step two is. And this step two may take several sessions, just like step one, looking at the income, because determining insurance policies, I get all sorts of mishmash when I ask for insurance policies. I get pieces of one put in with pieces of the other, put in with statements from 10 years ago. That can be really hard to piece together, but it's not, certainly not insurmountable, but it doesn't come as typically easily as a most recent statement from an investment account does.
Exactly. Yep.
And then annuities are a tricky thing. The two things that can be a bit of gotchas are if a spouse had a deferred compensation plan of some type, and the spouse is confronted with, well, you have to make a choice of, are you going to roll this over into an IRA? Or are you going to take the income now, pay it out over this many years? I think that's an important question to review with a financial professional to determine the pros and cons of each. I've had clients who, before they came to me, made that decision. And it's, if someone listening to this has, it's not like you've done anything wrong. Maybe it's exactly the right thing, but often there could have been something that it was a good choice. It might not have been the best choice. So we really try and help our clients make the best choice in areas, not just cash, but tax planning, future investment, and all of that. And annuities can fall in that also. With annuities, they come in so many different stripes and flavors. Mm-hmm. I am not an insurance licensed broker for annuities, so I will bring in colleagues who I am very confident in their professionalism and their ethics to help weed through an annuity and determine what is the good and the bad here. It may be, again, perfectly fine product that makes sense, that could really fit. I've used them for clients to say, okay, let's turn on the annuitization and pay you out a certain amount so you know for sure you have this income for the rest of your life. And then others said, you know, this really, they don't understand why it was purchased or what it is. And we unravel that and then determine if this is really something that still fits for them.
Got it.
Yeah, that type. I mean, think of that discussion. That can take a while. But we can see, again, the whole point of this discussion is, am I okay? Do I have what I need to get through this initial year of transition and not feel rushed to make a decision financially that could have ramifications that I'm just not able to even process right now, but that could really impact me 5 years out, 10 years out, that I really don't want to set that ball in motion. So what can keep me safe right now, regardless, again, of what's happening in Iran, what our government is doing, what their governments are doing, what's happening with trade policy? You can see how it's just really important to just bring these down to, how can I keep myself in good shape as I'm navigating this period of transition?
Got it. All right, Esther, I'm going to cheat just a little bit here. Before the podcast, you actually sent me another document to take a look at, and it is 3 questions to ask clients in transition. Mm-hmm. What is this all about?
So this is also something that we do going through transitions, again, at any phase, at any time when someone is having transition. And when the first question is, it's to really help clients reshape their life and frame the work that we're going to do together. And the first question is, with what's going on with me right now, let's say we've determined, yes, there is enough cash coming in right now. You don't have to worry, or we're making the steps to make the adjustments needed so that you do have this cash for the next 3 to 12 months as we're working out this adjustment. What also, besides that, what in your life do you need to protect? In other words, something so important that it's a top priority. I know when I was going through my transition, what I needed to really protect is downtime for rest and a peaceful home environment and a limited schedule.
Yeah.
That really made a difference for me. For other clients, what they've said is there, and again, this is not that it wasn't true for me, but things that come up are my family relationships. I don't want, let's say it's a business success transition. I don't, and my family is aware of it. It's really important that my family relationships stay really strong and healthy and that the communication remains open. So this may mean that we have to talk about money, or it can mean that we have to talk about money, and it might be, I'm not ready to talk about this yet. And I will let you know when I am, and how to navigate that conversation. If people know someone has just come into a lot of money through stock options or through even the lottery or a sale of a business, and we're talking about outside of a spousal relationship, if it's children or relatives or anybody who's sort of coming out of the woodwork, how I really need to protect this time with my closest family and make sure we're together. It can be one's health. It can be the community relationships that one has. So what do I need to protect right now?
Yeah.
And then the second question is, what do I need to let go of? Sometimes these things create changes. I had to let go of some of David's belongings, and I'm on round three of going through that now. But I had to physically, what do I need to let go of? I need to let go of some of his things. And that really is not easy. Nobody was forcing me to, but I really needed a bit more space in my home because people were coming for the memorial. So I really wanted to create more space. So I needed to let go of his things. And I needed help doing that. That was a challenging exercise, and I got help. Yeah. Some people need to let go of their home. It's just become too large for them. They're aware of that, but they have come to me to say, I need to make this transition and I need to let go of my home, but it's not easy and I'm not sure where to go from here. That can be it. Or it can be, I need to let go of worrying over what other people are expecting me to do given this change in my life. As Patrice Horvath said on her podcast, can be very well-meaning friends who really want the best, and yet they're coming up with all these ideas and suggestions, and it's a bit overwhelming/intrusive, and yet the friendships are important. So I need to let go of my worries over other expectations and figure out how to navigate that conversation.
And that's truly what it is. It's a tough conversation to have, but in your case, like you said, the thing you needed to protect was your time, and kind of your own well-being, mentally, physically, that whole thing. And a well-meaning friend is sitting there thinking at their house, oh man, she's all alone now. Yeah. We really need to get her out and, you know, get her drunk.
Right? Right, exactly. Would not have been the thing at all.
Yeah, exactly. So that's just really not a good idea. But I mean, they're well-meaning. We need to get her out so she can have some fun, quote unquote. Yeah. You know what? Maybe she just needs time to process.
Right.
Maybe she just needs time to, you know, be in a quiet place for a little bit. And there's, you know, well-intentioned people out there, but they just don't understand that you process differently.
Right.
Right. Than maybe they would.
Exactly. And that I always wonder people, well, I didn't, and I was grateful. I just always wondered about the people who brought other people food. I was actually really glad nobody was bringing me food because I couldn't eat that much. And I just was fine with just simple food that I was making. So it was, again, well-intentioned, but it's can feel like an interruption. So
yeah.
When clients work with us, we can help them practice those conversations. And we actually have other worksheets for how to manage expectations, both of ourselves. One thing can be, I need to let go of the high expectations I have for myself during this. I'm an achiever. I accomplish things. And right now I can't accomplish too much except one foot in front of the other. And I need to let go of expecting more of myself. So here we have those conversations with clients. And then the last question is, what do I need to create? And I have one client who's going through a divorce, and she's held off getting the divorce for a number of years. And she, you know, they've sort of been coexisting in different homes, but sharing businesses, and untangling that the business relationship is what's held it off. It's just a lot of work. And she realized that I really need to create a vision for myself for my future, not including this person and wrapped up and entangled in our businesses. I need to free myself of, well, it wasn't even freeing herself. It was just like, well, things aren't that bad how they are. Yet she's like, well, yeah, but still I'm married to somebody who we don't want to be married. Like, that's not quite right either. And so we ask clients, what do you need to create? Now that you know, you're not married, what is it? What is your vision, your awareness? Another client who came into a significant amount of money, she thought, I want to invest in real estate. It gives me income. We could move there. It could be vacation home. So that's very possible. We had to create a vision around what is that you want. You want financial freedom. You want access to a nice home and beautiful place. And let's see then how, with the planning, does it really give you financial freedom? Mm-hmm. So we ask clients those things I'm only giving it a few minutes today, but it's a way to bridge sometimes from the very near term of, am I okay with spending an income, to what do I really need in my life, and making sure those things are aligned.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's incredibly important. I love that document. When I was reading over it, thought, man, this is spot on. This is spot on. So I'm glad you have that for your clients.
Yeah, it's really a great conversation. And often we just say, this is all the conversation we're having today. Again, just to bring it down to that. And it doesn't have to be about technical all the time. And in fact, I don't think it should be about technical all the time.
Yeah. And I know we're running low on time today. So do you have any closing thoughts for us today, Esther?
Yeah, I would really welcome anyone who is curious more about what we've talked about today, to see if it makes sense to further the dialogue with me. Just go to my website, gatespassadvisors.com. There's an info box there, or you can email me directly at esther@gatespassadvisors.com. I really welcome the engagement and to be available to you in support in any way that I can.
Perfect. Absolutely. I encourage everybody to reach out. She's absolutely amazing to work with. And thank you all for listening to the Women in Wealth podcast with Esther Szabo. If you have not subscribed to the podcast yet, please click the subscribe button below. This way, when Esther comes out with a new podcast, it'll show up directly on your listening device. This makes it much easier to share these podcasts with your friends and family. And again, think about that. If you've got a friend or family member that is going through a transition, share some of these with them, because these are incredibly helpful, and share Esther's contact information with them, because she will come alongside them and help them walk through that time, whether it's a positive transition, a hard transition to walk through. She's right there side by side. So thank you again for listening. For everyone at Gates Pass Advisors, this is Eric Johnson reminding you to live your best day every day, and we'll see you next time.
Thank you for listening to the Women and Wealth podcast. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast so you receive notifications of new podcasts as they become available. Check out the website at www.gatespassadvisors.com for more information. This content is developed from sources believed to be providing accurate information. The information in this material is not intended as tax or legal advice. Please consult legal or tax professionals for specific information regarding your individual situation. The opinions expressed and material provided are for general information and should not be considered a solicitation for the purchase or sale of any security.